is a kind of practice and rehearsal. As we worship together, we are also learning and exploring how to improve things. So we will be ready in a week or two, and hopefully then we won't have too many issues. I don't expect we won't have any issues, but not too many issues. So it is better. Okay, so actually that echo came from the main sound system, which tells us that it may be actually better, at least when we speak, not when we sing, to not use the main amplifier and just go with our natural voice. That's good, so maybe we can now focus on God's word. And I invite you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Today we are going to spend another Sunday studying about the disciples and about Jesus as they were facing storms. We've been looking on this realm of storms for the last two Sundays. I aim to do so today and perhaps next Sunday as well. This time, we're going to focus our attention on this very text, Mark chapter 4. Let me read it first. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was at the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples wake him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Amen. Father, as we are going to study your word, we pray that through your Holy Spirit, you will be with us here in the church building and with each one of those who are now gathering with us on Zoom. You will assist us in everything that we do. And we'll go beyond our limitations in any way and just help us to grasp your word, to be in awe and wonder of who you are once again and what you can do in our lives. And we pray that through your word, you will bring encouragement into our lives and strength in our weaknesses. All this for your glory alone, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a very familiar passage. And I'm going to keep it very simple. At least I aim to keep it very simple. First of all, just to observe several things are, again, very obvious in the text. Just to go through in a natural way and then end up with some practical applications. After having spent a full and exhausted day preaching about his kingdom in parables like parable of the sower, the lamp on the stand, the growing, and the mustard seeds, to his hardened heart disciples, who often couldn't grasp the message of his teaching, Jesus decided to go over to the other side of the lake. While it is possible that Jesus wanted just a break from his daily ministry's pressure, or he just wanted to expand his ministry on the other side of the lake, I think the main reason he led his disciples to cross on the lake was actually to to help them grasp all his teachings and to give them a practical lesson that they couldn't get it otherwise. When Jesus entered the boat, it is reasonable to assume that the weather was fine and the lake was calm. When he arrived at the boat, he was so exhausted after such a long day, so he decided to have a little bit of a nap, we say, a sleep. He needed rest. And I really like the way that Mark puts it here. He was sleeping, verse 38. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. I like this little detail here. Not all the gospel puts it that way. And there are various interpretations and comments why people have imagined all kinds of things. You know, being Jesus, he could even create a cushion for himself, or he just literally found one, or that cushion belonged to one of his disciples and said, you know, can I borrow it? I just want to. But why would you put such a little detail in such a short text, and especially in such a short gospel? The Gospel of Mark is a very short gospel, very dynamic, written for the Roman mind. As they were very dynamic, they didn't have time to read as long and spend time into philosophy as Greek. They were very direct people, practical people, and Mark does it so. So every little detail here matters. On a cushion. Well, I believe this is one of the best proofs that we normally can use in our discussion with non-believers. When we come to little details like this in various other passages, that this is not just a compile of ideas and a made-up book. This is evidences of an eyewitness. No one who decided to write a gospel after 200 years or 100 years just to invent things will care with such details unless they really witness to such things. So whenever we have all kinds of interaction, we can point to these sort of details in the Bible. But then it is important for us to realize once again something about Jesus' nature. It's interesting how we ended up last year and began this year looking at this dual nature of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came from heaven and took a bodily form like us, 100% divine in his nature, and yet 100% human in his nature. This little detail, it is important for us today as we go through this huge storm of our life, that Jesus, who once was in a bodily form like each one of us, he had his natural needs. He needed to eat, he needed to drink, and he was tired, and when he was tired, he needed to sleep. So he went to sleep on a little cushion. As I said, everything was nice and calm. Why not? I think he knew about what is coming. Well, considering his divine nature, perhaps he knew about the storm. Yet he wasn't bothered about what is coming. He who made the lake or the Sea of Galilee, he knew that his own creation can do nothing to him as Lord and King over nature. So in his humanity, or his humanity made sleep necessary because he had weaknesses like each one of us, and he was not a superhuman. He was human and God. But in his humanity, was not a superhuman, not needing to sleep, not needing to eat, or maybe just sleep once a week, or 2 hours a night, as sometimes do. And this is important for us, you know, because sometimes we have higher expectations on ourselves. For years, I've beaten myself with higher expectation. I said, no. I should be fine only with 5 hours of sleep a night. Margaret Thatcher did so, until I come to be so exhausted and realized, oh, it's part of life. Jesus did it. Jesus needed it. We need it too. But knowing what's coming, and even through the storm, he was still deep asleep. How is it possible? Well, if his humanity made sleep necessary, his divinity made sleep possible under those circumstances. This is, again, very important for us to realize during this pandemic and through the storms of life, that in him we have a friend who had bear all the infirmities like each one of us, and he has such a level of sympathy with all our needs, with all our struggles, with what it means to be human, as the writer of Hebrew puts it. He understands us perfectly. He understands what it is to be anxious, as he has been anxious in the Garden of Gethsemane. He understands each of our needs and feelings. But in his divinity, he could overcome all these things. And he was deep and sound asleep. That's just a simple observation. Then in verse 37 says clearly that a furious squall came. A storm came unexpectedly. Well, it's not entirely unexpectedly, because those people knew that on the Sea of Galilee, although it's a short length and wide sea, like about 13 miles in length and 7.5 in width, so quite a small sea or a lake, although the size is not significant, its geography, because it's in between some mountains, made that sometimes out of the blue, strong winds will form and will create huge, huge storms. We know that the disciples are not unaccustomed with such reality. They knew it can happen. So when it happened, they did what they always used to do. They thought they can handle it. They had experience. They let Jesus to sleep for a while. They were not bothered about Jesus sleeping. But after they done everything that they could humanly do, they soon realized this is beyond what they can handle. They start to be afraid or to scare. And they soon travel from anxiety to being troubled, from being troubled to distress, from distress to fear, and from fear to doubt. They came to Jesus in verse 38. Don't you care, teacher? Don't you care? And that's the worst thing that a disciple can ask Jesus. But again, it's part of life. And like them, we often find in exactly the same position. When we look at what's going on right now with this coronavirus, we may think or say it in our minds, don't you care, Jesus? It's been so long. Don't you care that I'm sick or someone dear to me is sick or passed away? Lord, don't you care that I lost my job or the insecurity of my job? Don't you care that I have no money? Lord, don't you care that I feel so alone during this time? Lord Jesus, don't you care that my friends or my family have deserted me? Finally, sometimes we may simply cry, hello, anybody out there? Because we kept on praying and praying and praying. And it seems like our prayers have not been answered. Yeah, this is a proof that sometimes even Jesus' disciples, us Christians, still ask dumb questions. Or ask Jesus anything else but not this. Of course I care for you. That's why I'm with you in this boat, guys. That's why I'm with you right here. That's why I'm in this world, guys. As I said already last Sunday, that's why I'm going to go on the cross and die for you. Because I deeply, deeply care for you. But you know what? I had to lead you into this storm. You are not into this storm because of your disobedience. Not this time. Sometimes we may end up in storms because of our disobedience. Or we create them by the way we react and act and so on. But this time, it's not because they were disobedient. Jesus told them, let's cross on the other side. So they were obedient. And they actually are in this storm because they were obedient to Jesus. And they did what Jesus told them. But they are in this storm because they couldn't grasp a lesson that Jesus wanted them to grasp before. And he actually had to go with them through another similar experience. We've studied this in Mark chapter 6. And then through another series of miracles until they finally got the point. And this is true that sometimes we don't understand and we don't fully grasp what he tries to teach us unless we go through such storms. We don't know exactly the whole cause of this coronavirus. But I know that in all these things, he has a purpose. He has a purpose for the entire world. And he has a purpose for his church. And he has a purpose for George Road Baptist Church and Emmaus too. And he has a purpose for each one of you and for me. And one of them, some of them already covered actually in my recent sermons. Well, they were just replayed after 2 years. And we may still have not completely got the point. Well, we knew it in theory, but not yet ready to put it in practice. One of the points is hands off, guys. There are times in life when you really have to learn. Take your hands off and let me be 100% in control of your life and in the church. Hands off. Enough. Okay, I like you to plan. I like you to do what you need to do. But hands off. It's my church. It's my word. And you belong to me. That's the main lesson that they had to learn. And they had to come to the point when they have done everything that they could until they said, no. We need to cry out to Jesus. Well, they come with this dumb question. Don't you care? But at least they've done something good. They haven't started their own committee discussing in between them. He doesn't care. Well, he does nothing while we are in the storm. Peter, John, can you imagine whom are we following? Look, that guy. Is he our master? How can we follow? Well, let's abandon him. Oh, at the beginning of the text says that there were a few other boats around. Let's move on. He's not worthy of us. That's something that at least the writer doesn't say. They had a chat and they start to complain and they start to kick and they start to empty all their bitterness. They had it. But I like that they went with their concerns to Jesus alone, not within their own circle. I don't know exactly how it happened. I sometimes have to, my imagination is some weird somehow, but you know, have you ever thought how this happened? Maybe one out of the blue just decided, well, while the other tried to handle the situation, they throw away all the weights. They've done everything they could. One just had this smart idea and said, look, I'm going to go. Or they might have stopped altogether and said, what can we do? Well, what else? Now go to Jesus. And who is going to go? Well, you. James, you go. James goes to Jesus, touching him slowly on the shoulder, you know. Jesus. Yeah. The other disciples are so afraid. They are so troubled. Well, I'm fine, actually. I'm fine, you know, but they are really so afraid. Can you do something about, you know, I don't like when they are so frightened. if you can you do something? Not right now, but in the near future, can you do that? Do you think it happened like that? Or maybe all at once they just cried out in a simple prayer. Dumb words, but a prayer. Don't you care? Jesus wakes up, calm, peaceful. But I liked another observation. He didn't rebuke them at all, but he rebuked the winds, the waves. But how come? They needed a lesson. Sometimes we don't learn when it's directly, given to us. But we learn more by observing what's going on around. And he has a conversations with those who have no ears and cannot speak, waves and winds. Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Another observation, it doesn't say it began, it's being died down, it's taking some time, 20 minutes to come down. But instantly, wind and the waves obey. And then he turns towards his disciples and says, do you still have no faith? Well, initially, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? It might be the same question that he addresses us today, and he had addressed it to me. You still don't have faith? Don't you still have faith? I promise you, Daniel, and I promise you, George Road, and I promise you, Emmaus, that we will cross on the other side. And 2 years ago, when we looked in the book of Joshua, we've learned that this was the promise and it was applicable to us, and God stirred us up with a new vision that we will cross on a different side into a promised land. Not the real Canaan, but a new dimension of our ministry. But we start having our own plans and our expectations and our way of doing things. Okay, hands off. Learn some lessons first, but trust my word. The disciples doubted his care, but they also doubted his word. What did Jesus say at the very beginning? Say, let's cross on the other side. He didn't say, let's go on the lake, let's move our boat a little bit and then we are going and sing. That's my plan. No, he didn't say that. He just promised, let's go on the other side. He didn't say it's gonna be clear. He didn't say they're not going to encounter a storm. He just simply said, let's cross on the other side. They trusted, they mistrusted him. They didn't trust in his word. And through all this time, I've learned a lot that yes, God promises something, but it's not always going to be as I expect, as I imagine, as I am planning, as I work through. No, but his word will always be fulfilled. And this is my encouragement to you, especially as trustees and care leaders in the church building and those who are watching from home. We will cross on the other side. It might be after a year, it might be after 2 years. Hopefully not 40 years like the Israelites. But we will cross on the other side, because when you trust that this is from the Lord, it is his promise to us, all we have to do is not doubt his care and not doubt his word or promises to us. And as we come towards the end of the text, again, keep it simple. That's Elena's advice, by the way. And I hope she's pleased that I try to keep it simple. Verse 40 and 41. he said to his disciples, "What are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." They were terrified. It looks like they were even more terrified after he stilled the storm than they were through the storm. But it's a different sort of being terrified. I'd like to think it was a kind of reverence here, because they come to a new realization. A realization that actually even demons came earlier than the disciples. If you turn one page backwards to chapter 3, in verse 9, chapter 3, verse 9, we find the first reference to a boat here, first time in Mark. And this is actually when Jesus again was teaching, and people were crowding around him, and he just needed some space. So he established his floating pulpit, a boat. But in that context, verse 11, whenever the impure spirit saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." The impure spirit bowed down, was terrified, reverenced, and cried what? "You are the Son of God." What is the discovery of his disciples in this text? Who is this? Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Through the storms, they come to realize that Jesus is more than they ever thought. Well, they trusted him, they followed him, they've done stuff with him, they've observed miracles, they were amazed by his teaching. But as we look back to the beginning of our text, in verse 36, the middle part, it says, just as he was, Jesus entered just as he was, in his human condition, tired, exhausted. He entered in the boat just as he was. And now they discover him just as he is, different. And through the storm, they had this chance and challenge to be once again in awe of who Jesus is, of his majesty, of his authority, of his power over the whole creation. And I hope that this is what we are going to discover once again, not from a theoretical point of view, but from a practical point of view. We don't know how this thing will end. It may end by, you know, the human intervention, as we may think. They will discover a treatment or a vaccine, and in a year time, as they say, it will end. Or it may happen through a very miraculous intervention by God himself. Regardless what the means of the healing will be of our planet, of our humanity, I hope we will worship this Jesus. Not big pharma, not doctors, not science. Because through this pandemic, through this storm, we actually discover him more than we could ever imagine. And another short practical lesson, and with this I'm finishing. What is the boat representing in this passage and throughout the Gospels? Well, if you had the chance to visit some Christian museums or other early Christian art, you often see that this is it has been an inspiration for many artists, and they used to picture or to paint a boat on a lake, and Jesus in a boat and stuff like that. Sometimes you see fish. But a lot of scholars believe that throughout the Gospel now we can see the boat as a representation of the church. The boat represents the church. And when Jesus is in the boat, in the church, It doesn't matter through what kind of storms the church will go through. It doesn't matter what they out there may orchestrate or plan against the church. I've seen a lot of Christians being fearful online and through my own interaction with them. This is something has been planned to destroy the church. This is, you know, and they are so anxious. No, I see no reason. Because wherever I look in the Bible, I can see that when people from outside try to destroy the church, they never had success. Because Jesus is in control. And the boat, the spiritual boat, the church will never sink, no matter how the big, how the storm, how big the storm may be. Yeah, the boat will never sink, and the storm will not last forever. So in the middle of the storm, he's reminding us of his identity and of his promise. Let's cross on the other side. Let's look again at Mark 4. He didn't say, as I said, let's us go to the middle of the lake and roam. Nor did he imply that their journey across the lake was dependent on a good weather only. No, Jesus gave direction to cross the lake, and it was confident that his plan would not be sidetracked by a storm or any other calamity. Today, as the scourge of COVID-19 beats the land, and even our next Sunday service is uncertain with this new measure for Birmingham, lockdown and so on. A lot of uncertainty around. We should rest in assurance that the one who told the disciples, do not fear, is the same one who is in control of our lives. And the one who had the power to calm the storm for them can calm all the storms of our life too. Amen. Let's conclude with a prayer. Dear God, you reminded us over and over in your word that you are always with us. You tell us not to fear, and you draw us close into your presence. You are the only place we find refuge in the storms that surrounds us right now. You are the only place we can find peace and strength. We ask you for your words of truth and power to strengthen us in our inner being and life. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you know the way we take and you have a plan. We look to you today, our Lord and Savior. It is your face we see. And we say together with Job in Job 23:10, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. Thank you, Lord, for your word that says you give us the power to come out of this trial as gold. Thank you that this storm will not last forever, but we are only passing through. Thank you that nothing has taken you by surprise. You know our journey better than we know, and we know it ourselves. Thank you, Lord, that you are victorious over every trouble and obstacle. Thank you that you have overcome sin and death and evil, and you can do it today too. And because of you, we too are overcomers. We too can have victory. And we can walk strong in your peace. Thank you, Lord, that you are a redeemer and you will not waste our pain. Thank you that we can be assured all things, not some things, but all things will work together for good for those who love you and are called according to your promise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
There's a YouTube song that's been on my heart all week, and I've been debating whether to share it, but I think it would be good to share it. is he worthy? We can hold on to that perhaps. If you'd like to unmute at home so we can share the grace.
Who would you unmute?
I can't see you, so someone will have to let me know when you look back ready.
If you want to chat, we can try chatting with one another.
Hi, Jean and Sandra.
Hello.
Hi, Trevor.
Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Daniel.
Well done, guys. You made history.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah. Definitely. Ferreira has left the meeting. Roy and Liz has left the meeting.
That's James.
147,806. Daniel Gordon has left the meeting.
Is that Andy?
400,000.
Is that Sheila? Good morning, folks.
Morning.
Good morning, guys.
I, you see, I can't recognize you with your face mask on, Sheila.
Daniel, Trevor.
I wasn't quite sure how do you.
So how did it feel being in church?
Distorting. On the screen, it was distorting.
Strange.
Hi, Mavis.
Mavis.
Bola's iPhone has left the meeting.
Sunday, everybody.
Dialogue.
Yeah. Bless you.
Please, yeah. Mark.
Please keep our family in your prayers.
How is Ezekiel getting on?
We had a test done yesterday, so we're waiting for the results. But he's out of the fever. He's up and about today, making a shout. So yeah, he's getting there.
That's good.
Been that for everyone. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Christine.
Hi, Wendy.
Hello,
Rob.
How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you.
Oh, good.
One day at a time.
Still around here.
Hello, Father.
Oh, Linda. Oh, Linda, I know. Oh, Chris.
How are you, Linda?
Adam, how are you today? Linda.
Darling, come here.
Hi, Pauline.
Hi, darling. Think so. How are you? You're right, babe.
Hi, Yvonne. Hi,
darling.
Hi,
everyone. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Mercy.
Hi, Val. You okay?
Yes, I'm good.
Mercy.
Okay, you missing Mother Evans? Things went well with Evans.
He's back on Tuesday.
He's back soon. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up with Ezekiel?
Oh, he had the symptoms of COVID. We've been in lockdown.
Oh, dear.
The last week, Sunday. So,
symptoms of COVID.
Okay.
But is he feeling a bit better in himself?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah,
started shouting this morning, so he's fine.
Oh,
I am so close to bringing in our cane.
Cloud services, Phyllis.
At least it gives you time to stay still. I know. It feels strange. I'm telling Mark this morning. It's like I haven't stopped since April. It feels strange.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah.
what else is there?
Putting my nursing skills to use at home as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Good practice.
Oh, dear. What else is
there? That was a good experience.
Yeah.
It would be really useful if you could just unmute yourselves
one
at a time and just give us some feedback on how it goes.
Can't do anything at the moment.
We cannot work together.
I think it went really well. It feels nice to see people in church. The only thing was just that the sound issues in and out, but maybe that if you can figure that out, that would be good, because the signal just seems to drop and it wasn't so clear at some places.
Yeah.
I just like to thank everyone involved because it was a lot of organisation. Thank you, Marie. Thank you, everyone. I really appreciate that we're back in the building. So thank you to everyone. There was noise issues, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. The Lord's with us in the spirit. So just thank you, everybody.
So basically, what Nick says and technical guy at this stage is that because the room is empty, not too many people, the echo comes from here.
Yeah.
So we need to test and see next Sunday when we have more people, if that goes better. And when it comes to internet connection, if the internet connection is low, then it's nothing we can do about.
It wasn't just the echo. We couldn't hear Marie behind the screen sometimes, and we couldn't hear. We couldn't hear the prayers either. So that wasn't an echo thing. We just couldn't hear them at all. So I don't know if it was the sound. I don't know what that was about, but it wasn't an echoing.
Too far. Yeah. Let's have a test now. How do you hear me?
We can hear you, but it's echoing.
Yeah.
It's echoing again.
Yeah. I didn't have an echo when he was preaching, did I?
No. Hey, stop. No.
Daniel was hearing me now.
When Daniel was preaching, it was really, really clear. So I don't know what he did in regards to that. That was clear. The room was still empty. But we could, so it might be a microphone issue, I don't know, but Daniel had no problems in hearing you whatsoever.
No, it was very clear.
Right, so that tells that the sound in the church, it doesn't really send the signal pretty well through Zoom. But when I preach, I only use my phone, nothing else. Which shows that it's better rather than having technology like that. And put the phone near you.
Could you recall from the system?
We can have, each one of us have their own phone and you commute. It's the best way.
I think that will work,
That's the plan.
What about the piano?
Well,
it was all right.
The piano was okay.
I think the drum overrode most of it, really.
Yeah.
Not easy to hear the musical background. The drum sort of overrode it.
Could you hear the music at all?
At the start, Marie, we could hear, but then also because the signal it was in and out, but then the YouTube was very clear.
So, do you hear me through this?
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, so can you do the same with their microphones?
Yes.
You can?
Yes.
let's have a practice right now. You sing a chorus, and you know, if you can stay, some of you, it will help to improve for next Sunday.
Okay, I'm gonna have to go. Sorry, mates, I've got to go.
That's really, really clear.
Yeah.
Did you hear everything then at home?
Yes.
Yes.
Very, very clear, Marie.
Yeah. Henry, and the piano was very good as well.
Yeah.
Guys at the back, can you not turn the whole volume down? It's going out to there. Will that affect what they hear at home?
And again. Oh, you got place.
Wondered if the levels mean.
Bye, Vanessa.
Because I guess it must be picking up from this camera.
Bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye, Vanessa.
Bye, Vanessa.
Oh. Yeah.
Bye, Vanessa.
Should we go into verse 2? Any better at home?
It's louder.
Yeah, we can hear
you.
That
was fine.
How was that at home?
Very good.
It was clear. Very good.
Very clear. The piano is very clear, Marie. We can hear your voice, every word that you said, and what's going.
Very stage-hearted.
Are you still behind the glass screen, Marie?
Pardon?
Are you still behind the glass screen?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that was good.
Can you still hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
The camera's gone.
Yeah, very clear.
Okay.
Yeah, that's clear.
So does that mean people... Oh. Are we going to have that echoey? Okay. So, but when I'm singing, will that be muted?
Yes.
Okay, because it's very distracting. Okay, and that's probably what they could hear at home. Yeah. Okay, good. Okay. Thanks, everybody at home.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's fine.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks, all.
Thank you. Thank everyone.
Have a great weekend.
Bye,
bye,
everyone.
Bless you all.
Bless you all, sisters.
Bye.
Bye,
Yvonne.
Bye.
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 Bye, Pauline.
Bye, darling. Have a good one.
You too, darling. Don't work too hard.